This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join Kyle and I this weekend to get on the action. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports.
You're Locked On Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Locked On Sharks, your daily source of everything Team San Jose. By the time you're hearing this, goddamn, the season is over and we have made it through to the other side. It's like Frodo at the end of Lord of the Rings when he's just like spent. But we're actually going to jump into Mount Doom instead of throwing just the ring in there. We're just going to send our whole body into the mountain. So what we're going to do is we're going to keep going with our draft profiles because we have a lot to cover. Still have guys in the top 10 like we're doing today. We still have the back half of the first round because we want to cover the whole thing before the draft gets going. And we'll get some expansion stuff coming up. We'll do some exit season stuff in the next little bit. But for today, we've brought on another expert to talk about Eric's boy, Luke Hughes, the other white meat of the Hughes brothers. So I'm your host, Kyle Demetrius. Back with me as always are JD and Eric, the Quinn and Dad, Mr. Hughes to my Luke. No, there's three of them. I forgot about Jack because he was such a shit rookie. I completely forgot.
Restart it. Bring it back. Bring this one back.
Yeah, the Jack and Quinn to my Luke. I don't know. Whatever. Eric, tell us about Luke Hughes.
Sadly, our friend Simo DePerry's app seems to be down, so I don't have that resource. I know, right?
Nobody's going to
call up Helsinki. I think Helsinki's awake still.
Yeah. He's in Lucco, wherever that is.
It's always Helsinki.
He's actually very responsive when I tweeted him. I've tweeted him before. I've been like, yo, I need your app. Like, what's going on? And he puts it back up. So there's at least one viewer of his website.
Eric single-handedly keeping the website going.
Yeah, all my 10 visits a 10.
See, what's the USD to Finnish kroner?
I have no idea. Is kroner also in Finland? You could just make it up. Just sending Swedish currency across the border.
They're all kroners.
I like it. Nordic countries are all kroners. Per Elite Prospects, Luke Hughes's draft year scoring in the USHL since the turn of the millennium was top 10 of 550 draft year players who have played in the USHL in this time. So that's really exciting. There are other guys he's around, like near Zach Jones, who just laced it up for New York Rangers for the end of the season. Adam Fox, who also plays in New York. Jacob Trouba, Torrey Krug, or some other names who have similar scoring rates. So that's an exciting start. If you put together his draft year scoring and last year's scoring rate into a model, which Byron Bader has done on his hockey prospecting website, you can come up with a percent probability that he will play in the NHL and become a star career performer. I can't even get my words straight today, but become a star, which means 0.45 points per game career for a defenseman. So he has a 7% chance of becoming a star producer and a 62% chance of becoming an NHLer. So 62% of becoming an NHLer is far above the average of 25%, and 7% is a smidge above average.
It's the exact same
producer.
As Owen Power.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. So I think, you know, there are clearly some sort of limitations with this type of model. It's pretty surface level. The good news is we've got a guest to help us kind of dig beneath that. So without further ado,
Finland uses the euro. We're all fucking stupid. Maybe our guest knew that. So our expert today is Dylan Galloway. He is the head scout of Eastern Canada for FC Hockey. He used to work in the OHL, so his bona fides are legit. So don't yell at us, Dylan. Welcome to our clown show.
Thank you for having me. And I had no idea that Finland used the euro. You would have sold me on the kroner.
Right, because like Denmark uses it, Sweden uses it.
I've been to Copenhagen Airport, and they got me not having Wi-Fi access, and so I had no idea the exchange rate. And I think I paid like $50 for a water and like an appetizer.
That's not because you didn't have Wi-Fi. That's just Denmark. I spent 9 days there, and let me tell you, sure, when you take out money, just not a lot's coming back. in the corner, it's really expensive. The Copenhagen airport also is hilariously small, but the guards all have like MP5s and are straight like military garb, but they're super friendly, just like taking pictures of people. It's so funny. I was just like, what world am I in? Anyway, where were you going that you had to transit through Copenhagen?
I was going to, I was like on a Euro trip with my fiance. It was about 5 years ago at this point.
Oh, all right. Fair enough. So Luke Hughes, he of one ankle.
Yes.
Is he going to recover? Dr. Galloway.
I mean, absolutely. There's obviously he'll be fine. I have no concerns over the injury at all. It's, yeah, I haven't heard anything like it being like they need to take his leg. So, yeah, he'll definitely be up and about sooner rather than later.
That's good. So what's putting him in the Owen Power? Because the big four is what? Clark, Edvinson, Hughes, Power. Why is he in that group of the big defensemen that are going to go at the top of this draft?
Yeah, so we actually currently have him as our number one overall. Ooh. FC, and that's subject to change. Obviously we have a guide coming out in a little bit, so we've kind of obviously still had internal talks, but the reason we have him at number one right now is we just feel that he embodies a lot of what the prototypical NHL defenseman looks like. He has a lot of the habits, a lot of the ability. You can't get past the bloodlines either. There's just a lot about him that screams pro. His skating is some of the best in the draft. It's the best of all those defensemen. And his offensive skills are quite excellent. Since you guys, I have access to Instat, which is what we use for our video viewing this year, since we can't be in the rinks. So I actually did write down some of his stats, since you don't have access to your the app that you were using. I just noted that, so his passes to the slot per 60 minutes is at 3.87. And in comparison to Brant Clark was at 2.85 and Edmonton was at 1.19. So you can see he's getting the puck to the slot at a higher rate than those other guys. And I thought I wrote down another one. His expected goals is 0.67. Again, I believe that was average per 60 minutes. So low expected goals, but that's because his shot is super weak and probably the worst part of his game.
Investing can be complicated, but whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it easy. In fact, whether you care about stonks, memes, rocket ships, or day trading, Wealthfront has the right tools for every portfolio. With Wealthfront, you can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized for you in just minutes. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences you control. Wealthfront can even help you lower the taxes as you invest. For the average client, their tax loss harvesting can more than cover the low annual 0.25% advisory fee. Best of all, like I said, it's automatic. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL. All you need is $500 to get started. Again, get your first $5,000 for free. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL. That's wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL to start growing your savings today.
That's good. We don't want defensemen to shoot anyway. We want them to get it to the forwards who should be shooting. Exactly. So that's fine. That is an interesting, and thank you for writing some of those numbers down. It is probably tough to compare those across leagues like that though, because the other two were playing in, or I guess Edvinson was playing in, was he at Allsvenskan or was he playing in, okay. So like men's leagues versus USHL, yeah. But still, I mean, it's good to know that regardless that he was generating a lot of dangerous chances. So that's clearly something that he's been doing well. What other things kind of stand out to you that puts him, is he number one on your personal board, or is he?
He's, so it's been super fluid for me among my personal board. I think right now I have Clark as my number one. He had a really good showing at U18s, and his play over in Slovakia, the initial few games that I watched were disappointing. But then he really picked it up and he really looked great as the season went on over there.
And I felt honestly
the same about him at the U18s. I was kind of underwhelmed in the first few game or so. And then he really picked it up and really, you know, had a great showing there. And so I have Clark as my number one. I think I still have Hughes as my number two. And again, the reason for that is the completeness of his overall game. He's not great in his defensive zone. That's definitely one of the weakest parts of his game besides his shot. But of all the defenders at the top of that board, and I would put almost all of them above almost anybody else, maybe William Eklund. I don't have a lot of views on him though. And then Matthew Beniers would be in that top five for me. I think Hughes would be number two, based on the fact of his skating being so high end in comparison to all of the other players, and his thought process isn't elite, but it is really high end. So for this draft, I think it is on par with a Clark. So with his more complete package, his size, the better skating, and then a really solid brain on his shoulders. That's why I'd put him right just behind Clark at this point.
Are the things that he doesn't do well defensively, like, more fixable? It seems like all the four of those guys have the same, like, they probably have a ton of offensive upside, but defensively have some question marks. Are the things that Hughes does poorly things that are fixable? Are they more fixable than his peers in that capacity? Or what are we looking at in terms of what he needs to do to get better there?
So I think he plays really well when the puck is in front of him. And that's really important when you're transitioning the puck up the ice, when you're on the blue line, and particularly on the power play, playing on the blue line. When the puck is behind him and when it's deeper in his zone and he has to stare kind of backwards on the sheet, I think that's where he really starts to struggle. I see a lot of indecision in his game. It's not that he isn't aware, he's just kind of floating. He just seems to get a little bit stuck in his mind of wanting to do multiple things and kind of wanting to do it all, but not being able to choose one of them. So sometimes you'll see him stuck between two players and kind of lean one way and then decide to take the other route. And to me, his brain is a half a step behind on the defensive side of the puck. And that's why it doesn't connect between his feet and his head when he's making those decisions. And so I think that's the biggest issue in his defensive game.
You talked about his shot being his weakest part of his game. Is that something where, is it accuracy? Is it he needs to put on some more muscle to get a little bit stronger? Like, what do you think is kind of up with his shot?
It's mechanics.
Mechanics?
It's mostly mechanics. His shot, in my mind, it's surprising that he has 7 goals, in my opinion, because I'm surprised it beats a lot of even USHL goaltenders. He kind of throws the puck rather than shoots it. There's not really much of a bend in his stick. His stance isn't great when he's shooting the puck. I think he's trying to, again, do too many things, and his hands and feet don't communicate. We call that the stacking of skills. So I think he struggles a little bit to stack those skills when he's shooting. He's obviously very adept at skating and skating with the puck and skating on the blue line with the puck. So he has the capability of doing it. I think he honestly just needs to get with someone like a Belfry, obviously would do the trick, and really just work on his shooting mechanics, because the way that he sets up when he takes a shot really just doesn't set him up to have the power to really put any mustard on a shot. And then again, his actual, you're supposed to kind of use your arms as like a lever motion. And that's where the whipping comes from, shooting the puck. And that's how you gain a little bit more power. He doesn't quite do that. His upper arm, I don't think it gets out far enough in front of him. And again, I think he kind of just throws the puck rather than using a proper shot.
I'm picturing the Charles Barkley like golf swing right now as you're trying to explain this. Just this butchered notion. Oh no. Yeah.
It's not quite that bad. I mean, he doesn't have the yips that terribly. I've seen that, and it's no, he's not that bad.
So one thing I think we should bring up is his age, because he is a veritable baby.
Yes.
How, like, he's a full year younger basically than, is it Power or one of these other guys? Yeah. Well, then most of them, I think it's Power, right? He's like a full year younger. Cause he's what, I think 3 days away from being in the other, in the next draft class.
Yeah.
It's six days away from being the arbitrary September 15th cutoff or whatever the fuck the NHL uses now. So does that matter ultimately?
With that big of a gap? Yes. I mean, when you're looking at players at 17, 18, like 16, 17, 18, that age range, think of like the differences in your body from even 17 to 18. Like, you grow quite a bit in that time range. There's a lot of like even mental development going on. And then as you grow up into that 18, 19, 20 year old body, you start to get that quote unquote man strength. And I think that with players like this, when you're that young, there's a lot of maturing going on as well. And so I think that 12 month span, there's so much going on, developmentally, maturity wise, physically, all of that stuff is going on in that 12 month span that I think if it was Owen Power was born in like May or March or something like that, I might not say, yeah, it's a huge gap. But because it is all, basically a full year, I think it does matter.
Yeah, and it's not like Hughes. I mean, he's 6'2 right now, 176. So if he's going to, you know, maybe has another couple inches to grow and, you know, definitely gonna have some more, you know, he's going to have the frame to be able to put on more muscle and weight, which is that's good.
Yeah. And that's the other reason too, right? Like he's I'm not going to compare him to Quinn because that's not fair. He's not the same player, but
Quinn is a little.
Yes. So he has the offensive upside, but he's got that 6'2 frame, which again, I don't want to be, you know, size and grit and all that stuff. That's not my style. I prefer the smaller Quinn Hughes style players, but when you can get the offensive upside in a 6'2 frame, it's reminiscent of like a Quentin Byfield from last year. Him being the size he is with the skill he is, that's why you take him higher up in the draft class.
I like it. So, oh man, I lost my train of thought. I thought I had something good. The one thing I was going to say is the birthday stuff. A long, like standing way of evaluating prospects is age adjusting their scoring rate. Mm-hmm. And so people did that just based on whatever day they were born, but someone redid it recently. I apologize, but basically found that like there's a major drop only from the late birthday guys. So you should only really be adjusting guys who were born September 16th through December 31st, effectively. I mean, guys born on the other side of the new year, it's not like that big of a difference. So like you said, so I think that's like Brandt Clark is born in February. So that's not that huge of a difference, but someone like Owen Power is born the year before. And so it's effectively another year they get in whatever youth system.
Right.
Coming up.
And I think it's partly because they do grow up in they have more training, right? Like they grow up, it's not cut off the same way the NHL is typically. So they could be, you know, playing with older, better players. And so when they have that development, you know, you expect more from them.
Speaking of development, do you have an opinion on whether you think like NCAA track is better or than, you know, CHL, for example, or like Europe where they have the tiered system and can play up and down? Do you prefer one or the other?
I think it really, really depends on the player. I think what you're seeing right now is the benefit of going the non-CHL route is that you can go pro hockey quicker. whether that's moving over to Europe, going up into the AHL, if you want to break your NCAA like scholarship and all of that stuff. Whereas in the CHL, it's just not an option. So I think if you don't foresee yourself being a top pick and going straight to the NHL after your draft year, or maybe coming back for 1 year and really wanting to dominate the CHL, I really do like the NCAA route. Like I'm all for kids getting their education. Cause I mean, that's not even just a development in terms of like a hockey player. That's a development in terms of like a human being. Not that the CHL doesn't do that. So I don't want to bad talk the CHL in any way, but I do think that there's merit to going over to Europe and experiencing that independence in a European country, experiencing a pro coach. Like it is different. You're in a pro environment. Those guys get paid. You experience that level of hockey. You're not playing with 16-year-olds. You're playing with 33-year-olds. There's a different level of compete at that because it's guys' jobs on the line. I wouldn't say don't go CHL ever, but I think there's a certain type of player that either you're not going to the NHL and you probably want to just stay in Canada. You want to get your education at a university or a college in Canada. So that's a good route. Or you're probably going to be a high pick and go into the NHL fairly quickly. Like I think that those are the two ones where I'd say for sure go CHL. Otherwise, I would open it up to any option.
Kyle has a theory that college hockey like dulls players and sort of rubs out their creativity a little bit. But it seems like for defensemen who, you know, if we're looking at the top four defensemen, Owen Power is already in college. So per yep. this thesis, he's already working on this. But like,
not very.
The idea is that college you play fewer games, more practice, you know, more time in the weight room. But also you're coached generally to like play more within a structure versus like OHL where it's like you're the best player, run and gun, whatever, do your thing. And so it seems like there's a good chance at least that Hughes, because he's going to play in this environment, is going to have to work more in his defensive game and work more in those facets. And maybe even playing behind Owen Power will be helpful in that regard too. He's not the guy anymore. He is to serve Absolutely. Or fill more of a role, I think.
Yeah. And you, so, I mean, Cole Caulfield tonight had what, 2 points, and he was an NCAA player. We got Matthew Beniers. I think that there's lots of creativity and ability there, but he's got a great structure to his game. And then Kent Johnson, all those Michigan boys, like Kent Johnson is a wizard with the puck. So I see what you're saying. There's obviously way fewer games. And so more puck touches, the better, but I don't think that there's a bad route necessarily developmentally.
So Hughes is he's going to Michigan. How long do you think he'll be at Michigan before we see him in the kind of going pro?
Oh man, that was a tough question. I think he's going to need a couple years. I think he might be one of those players that does the full ride. He's good. He's good. I think the seasoning will really help him. I think if he goes 3 years, that would make the most sense. But then mm-hmm. cutting it off, I think at 3 years, to me that makes the most sense in terms of his development. I don't think this player should be rushed to the NHL at all. He has way more than enough to work on in his game at the non-pro level. So I think that, yeah, spending all of his time at Michigan would be beneficial.
So a team that's looking to inject a young, possibly high-end talent quickly is not going to be on the loop. Like Anaheim probably is coming out of their rebuild soonish, LA for sure. So maybe those aren't destinations where they would add this piece. So how far do you think Luke Hughes can slip down the draft board? Because he seems like he needs to go to a very specific location, like taking out Buffalo and Vancouver, who ruin everybody, no matter who they're going to take. It seems like it's going to be a very specific team that can wait 3 years and get him, almost like Cam York style, where like they drafted him so long away.
Yeah. So now I'll put my GM hat on. I've never been a GM, but I'll put my GM hat on and play a little armchair GM here. But if I have a pick in the top 10 of this draft, I think it would be a smart strategy to trade back. There's going to be so much movement. I've never seen such differing views on a top 10, and there's not even consensus on a number one. Like Owen Power is obviously the number one on most mainstream, you know, Bob McKenzie's list. And I think Sam Cosentino and Button both had him high, although I know they put new lists out today, so I forget if he was up there on both of those lists. But there's going to be so much movement in that top 10 between Hughes, Edvinson, Eklund, a guy like Lizell, I saw was, you know, at the bottom of Button's first round. So you're going to get a player of similar ilk at maybe like 11 or 12 as you would in that top 10, because there's going to be so much movement, or there could be so much movement. So I could see him going in the top five, but I could see him sliding to 10.
Hmm. So if you're a team that's picking around 7 or 8, potentially wears Teal a lot, like he could be right there in your range.
Yes. Yeah.
But he's not, but the issue with the Sharks is
they need somebody to come play in. Like,
they need someone who's going to play ASAP. Yeah. Right. So of, let's say, of the big four defensemen, or no, okay, let's even broaden it. So Dylan, if you're the Sharks, you're Doug Wilson, you're drafting, let's say, at 7, you need someone who can come in the next like couple of years and start to play and start to make an impact. If it's not this year, it's next year. Who are you taking?
So ever since I moved to Vancouver, everybody tells me that I have to keep coming on hikes. So I'm a hike guy now. But when you're lost in the woods and you're trekking up the one side of a mountain and you got to come back down and there's boulders in the way, there's tree branches hitting you in the face, and eventually there's a view or a lake you get to see, you get kind of hungry doing all that. And I don't know what berries are good. I don't know what mushrooms aren't poisonous. I'm not hunting and gathering animals out there. So you know what I turn to? A Built Bar. And you know why? Because they've improved the Built Bar, so it's even deliciouser. There's 6 new flavors like Cherry Barcia, Carrot Cake, Apple Almond Crisp, plus the 12 original flavors like Peanut Butter, Double Chocolate, or Mint Brownie if you're that guy that likes mint. Bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, and they're good for everybody who's health conscious, like me, the new hike guy. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a nice little treat, and bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and great for keto diet if you're the keto guy. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball's in full swing. You can track all the action at BetOnline. You can also get all the news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC and MMA action. So before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline, check out all the great sporting news, and sign up for bonuses and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get in the game as teams prep for their runs in the playoffs. So head over to the website or use your mobile device today to sign up and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code Locked On. Again, that's Locked On to get 50% welcome bonus. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
You're taking somebody from 2022.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is going to be maybe a little bit different, but I might take Simon Edvinson at that point.
Oh no.
So 7 or 8, I might take Simon Edvinson. He had a not great showing the first little bit at the U18s. And we currently have him as our number 2. I think he'll be sliding down a little bit based a little bit on the U18s. But I think if he's there in that 7-8 spot, he's that, you know, he's what, 6'4", 6'5". He's got the speed to make puck rushes. I think he has quite a bit to work on as well. But if you're looking to get someone to the NHL a little bit quicker, his size and where he's playing makes me believe that he'll be to the NHL a little bit quicker than maybe a Hughes. I don't see Brant Clark making it down to 7.
No.
Sorry,
damn it.
Sorry. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news.
Well, the thing with Edmondson is that I think he's going to get the power treatment where he's so big and agile and has all these great skills that's like
they're gonna
drunk GM like catnip, right? Yeah. That's like porn to an NHL GM. So like if Simon Edvinsson goes 2, I don't think the four of us would be surprised.
Yeah, I mean, so I follow the Ottawa Senators pretty closely. I'm a fan of theirs. I think if Ottawa's picking 1 or 2, they will sprint to the board for Owen Power. I mean, Owen Power, and then if they're 2 and Power goes 1, I think they'd take Simon Edvinsson. They love Swedish players, and they love their American or their NCAA players. So I think those two could go if Ottawa goes high, and then maybe you see Brent Clark slip a little bit. But I think his overall package has him solidly in the top 5. So that's where you'd see maybe a Luke Hughes drop to that 7-8 range. You could see Beniers drop that low. I think maybe Beniers could be one of those players that could transition a little bit quicker to the NHL. Just again, he's one of those players that a coach is going to love. You saw it at the World Juniors, right? Like the kid just does so many things right in all 3 zones that coaches are going to give him more opportunities than they might to like a Brant Clark, who, you know, will make a lot of mistakes early on and they'll get kind of sick of him and then maybe send him down to the OHL if it's served up again in the next, you know, 6 months or so.
Yeah. The just for posterity, the Cosentino rankings are Power, Beniers, Clark at 3, which is crazy. Edvinsson, Genther, Kent Johnson at 6, Eklund, Hughes at 8, McTavish at 9, which I think we're going to see McTavish go way high. Then Lucius at 10, which means that guys like LaSalle's 11, Wallstedt's 12, and then he has Svechkov at 13, which is just that's real high. Yeah, is my answer. And then he has Rotto at 14. So hell yeah, Sam Cosentino, you're back.
we're back.
we're back, baby. Who of the 2021 draft is playing in the NHL next year? Because you know there's going to be at least one guy that's going to get put on an NHL team.
I really think Mason McTavish is going to get a hard look.
Really? Is the way that Cole Perfetti got a hard look or like actually make the team?
maybe that, but I think the way that he, again, similar to Beniers, and I think if I'm not going as hot takey, Beniers probably gets, if he decides to leave Michigan and they say like, come play with us right now. I don't think he will, but that's why I'm kind of going down to McTavish because there's a lot of NCAA players in this group. And I don't see Hughes, Edvinsson or any of the other Euros making that jump. My brain goes directly to McTavish. He's got the size. His improvement in his pace year over year has been incredible. Watching him at that U18s, I wrote about him or spoke about him the other day. Might have been just a scouting report that'll be coming out soon. But it was like watching a man amongst boys at times. He was very physically dominant. He not in the way of going out of his way to hit players. He was using his body positioning and his size to drive the puck and drive those center lanes, getting the puck to the slot, doing a great job of keeping opponents at bay, and just overall looking like a much more finished product. Whereas last year when I was watching him in the OHL, he looked very, very raw. The brain was there. You could see it. Some of his decision-making was like a 16-year-old player in the OHL. But the pace wasn't nearly there, and he did look extremely raw. But his skating has improved incredibly year over year. He's got that frame that I think fits well into the NHL. He's got a wicked shot. And I think he thinks the game very, very well. So I could see him being a surprise player that breaks into the top 5 of on draft day and then gets a hard look at the NHL. Maybe like he might not stay up the entire year, but he'll get like maybe 5 games or something like that.
Love it. All right. And one more before we get to the blood questions, the blood packed questions, as we call them. Who in this draft class, timeline to the NHL aside, who in this draft class, if they make it and put it all together, do you think has like, and I don't know, star potential or the highest
game
potential?
Break it.
Yeah.
You game always change it.
which, oh yeah, sorry. Which, all right. Which guys in this class can be a game breaker in the NHL?
I gotta go with Brandt Clark. His ability to get the puck up. I love watching him break into the zone, make all those decisions. I mean, he spoke about it, about his time in Slovakia, where they didn't really get his game when he first got there, but his ability to actually like speak to the players, kind of get them on board with, hey guys, just get open for me, or I'm going to do this. I'm going to skate up the lane. Just make sure you're there when I'm there. And then them doing it and his game improving as they understood how he plays. I think that's, you can't deny his offensive ability. He just needs to honestly fix some of his skating and then his defensive zone. So his skating is solid, but he just needs to improve the Strata extension. There's a lot of noise in that. And that'll make him even better. And it's not hard things to fix. So I really do think that if he makes it to the next level and is able to get into the right situation, he could really explode and be an impressive player.
Huh. All right, then. I love hearing that, and I want him to fall to 7. that's what I want. Sorry, Patrick Marleau just did something stupid, and it's awesome. Okay, so getting to our blood pack questions. We're gonna make you write this in your own blood, and we're gonna write it down and find you in 5 years. It's 2026. We're still doing this podcast.
I look forward to it.
We're still doing this podcast from Toronto. I know the ins and outs. I can find you. Who is the best player from this draft class when we're looking back 5 years from now?
I mean, you brought me on to talk about Luke Hughes.
You don't have to say Luke Hughes. Almost nobody has said the person they talked about.
Okay, so I know I'm writing this in blood, but I really, really love what I see from Matthew Coronato. I think he'll be...
Whoa! Really?
So, I know I'm saying the best player in this draft. I my brain immediately goes Brandt Clark. I just spoke about all the reasons why. I think that Matthew Coronato is just his engine in my mind. It's his motor. He just never quits. He never quits on pucks. I've seen him improve his defensive zone coverage over the year. I've seen him improve his decision-making over the year. I've seen him just explode offensively over the year. And I think that he could, yeah, he could reach that upper echelon of player from this draft. Like, I think we'll look back in a few years and be like, okay, so this guy went in the first round, but why didn't he go top 10? Why didn't he go top 5? Now, he's got to put everything together, like I said. So, I'm swinging for the hit the ball out of the park here. But you know, if you want to find a player that's worth every penny that they're going to make in the NHL, I think he's the guy in that first round. Where if he's anywhere you're picking between 10 and anywhere else in the draft, I would want to go with him.
Would you rather have him than Ayrton Martino?
Yes.
All right. No. Everybody's moved on. The first like 4 or 5 people we had on all said Jesper Wallstedt as the best player. And then now we've moved on and nobody says Jesper Wallstedt anymore. So it's quite fun how that works. Okay. So the second written in blood question, we don't know the draft order yet. That makes it even better. What number does Luke Hughes go at?
I think he'll go 5.
five. Who are the four guys you think are going in front of him?
So I think Power and Edmondson will go early. Size. I'm just thinking of all the teams that will be in that region.
Yeah.
And I think Beniers will go early. And then, so that's three. I think Brant Clark is in there, and I think Hughes.
So you think there's going to be four defensemen in the top five? Ooh. Well, I mean, this is the year that's going to happen, right?
It's the defenseman year, right? Like, William Eklund is up in that upper echelon as well. I don't think Fabian Lysell helped himself with his U18 performance. And as much as we say, let's not use one tournament and a small sample size as you know, something to write on someone's gravestone, I think that that does happen, especially in this season. So I think that that's going to be a factor. And I think GMs are kind of wary of taking a goalie this high. And Dylan Gunther also, he was shot out of a cannon when the WHL season started. He looked really good. I felt he was maybe average or even a little bit underwhelming in the U18. So I think that his stock has fallen a little bit too.
Fair. Just a quick thought before we let you talk about what you want. I think there's going to be a lot of random selections this year. Like the way that Morris Seider went six and Jack Quinn went eight or whatever. There's going to be a lot of those, right? Where Cole Sillinger goes seven because some team is just in love with Cole Sillinger, right?
Yeah.
All right. I'm glad somebody agrees. this is my theory. Dylan, we've taken a lot of your time, so you have unlimited time to talk about whatever you want. You can talk about those degrees of your fiance. You can talk about your work. You can talk about, I don't care what you talk about. Time is all yours.
I appreciate it. Yeah. So I'm with FC Hockey. Our website is nhlentrydraft.com. You can go there and sign up for a subscription, and you can read all of our scouting reports. All of our team publishes all of our scouting reports. They're all live on the site. You can go into a player, view their profile, view the scout that wrote the profile, view that scouting report, and then kind of obviously be more informed about all of the players that you're watching. We do have a guide coming out before the draft. We're just getting going on getting that written. So that will go up on the site. So again, it's just nhlentrydraft.com. The other thing that I'm working on is with the OHL season down for the year, there's obviously players that have not had any time to be viewed. They've had no games. So I've been working with Kyle and our director of content, Josh, on a program called Sidelined. And so the first one is coming out this Saturday. And let me just remind myself who I wrote about over the weekend. I have forgotten all of a sudden. But I'm going to be doing, I think, six of them, and they'll be going up at various times leading up to the draft every 2 weeks. So they'll have a little summary of the player, how their D-1 season went. It will have video breakdowns and then a short description. We do deep dives on a few players throughout the season. But this time I just did a short 500-word sidelined on. Sorry, again, I'm totally blanking on which player I wrote down. Give me one moment.
I hope it's somebody with a cool name.
It was...
While Dylan looks that up, you can find him at Dylan Galloway _, and it's G-A-L-L-O-W-A-Y. And FC Hockey is literally at FC Hockey. I'm not spelling that for you guys. You guys can figure it out. Also, you have a video show or a podcast as well?
Yeah, we do have a podcast. I was on there last week just wrapping up the U18s. Go check that out. We selected our top forward, top D, and goalie of the tournament, and then player of the tournament as well. The player I wrote about that's coming out this Saturday is Connor Lockhart of the Erie Otters. He went, I believe, top top five in the OHL draft over Brant Clark, I believe, in the OHL draft in their draft year. And that was the Shane Wright draft year. And so I wrote a few hundred words on his play last season.
Definitely won't be known as the Lockhart draft year with Shane Wright in the class. That's unfortunate. That's unfortunate. Yeah. So go check that out. All the good stuff that Dylan is doing over at FC Hockey. And we've had a couple of them on now, so they're always putting out work. If you want to find our work, it's on Twitter at Locked On Sharks. If you would like to tell us that we're bad at this, you can do that at lockedonsharks@gmail.com and I will just hit the trash can button instantly. Thank you for your time. If you would like to go look at Instagram or Facebook, because JD's manning those for us and putting up all our stuff there, you can do that. If you DM us on any of these places, we will get it. We will answer. So if you want to see a specific show, a specific prospect, anything like that, let us know. If you would like to get at me in particular, you can do that at Kyle Demetrius. If you want to get at JD and tell him he's great, you can do that at Maya Fryhill. If you'd like to send a calendar invite to Eric for something, you can do that at Foulball15. You can find Dylan at Dylan, D-Y-L-A-N, Galloway, G-A-L-L-O-W-A-Y, _ at FC Hockey. Thanks, Dylan. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, everyone. It was great to be on today. I had a lot of fun.
Perfect. Thank you.
Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news and every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.